I'm still on the motorway.
Drop down, little mama, heart of stone. Drop down, little mama, heart of stone. Heart of stone. Heart of stone. Heart of stone. Let it be known that I get cold every night when I go to bed alone. Warm little mama gonna get in my lap. No, she don't be my wife. Drop down, little mama, heart of stone. Drop down, little mama, heart of stone. Drop down, little mama, heart of stone. Drop down, little mama, Halloween stone. Halloween stone. Halloween stone. Halloween stone.
Stone performed live on Houseboat on the Thames on an amazing warm Sunday afternoon. Well, actually, it's not warm, but the sun is shining. And we welcome Wooden Horse on the left microphone and the left side of your headphones. Therefore, we've got Ben, and on the right hand side, we've got Jamie. That's Ben Church and Jamie Knight. Collectively, Wooden Horse. I've been looking forward to you coming for a while, and we'll talk about this year, how you seem to be gathering momentum, like this is sort of like a snowball gathering pace, really. But let's start, really, because your website is delightfully vague about where you came from and where you, how you came together. So, Wooden Horse, how old are you, basically?
We're a year and a half in the making, aren't we? I'd say.
Yeah, it's been going about nearly 2 years now, so not very long. And personal lives are obviously a little bit older than that.
Yes.
We don't have to disclose that information right now.
No, of course not. But so playing before, obviously, individually, you didn't come sort of new to the business and new to musicianship 2 years ago. But each of you in the same kind of genre or from completely different genres?
I started very young. When I was 17, I was in a few blues bands. So I got introduced to blues at quite a young age, mm-hmm. and just decent, great, like Johnny Winter and B.B. King and Muddy Waters and all that type of music. So I really enjoyed it. But then I sort of came out of that, going into like sort of 20, 21, I started getting into the singer-songwriter stuff, and it didn't quite work for me. You know, I released a couple of albums, it just didn't sit and it didn't feel right, so it just got straight back into the blues and right. Met Ben.
Yeah.
That was it.
So, and Ben, for you?
I always liked older music. I always liked and people like Tampa Red and Robert Johnson, mm-hmm. all the slide players, really, early slide guitar. And I think I had a real advantage because my friend's dad used to own a hotel in Newport in Wales called the King's Hotel. And he used to bring bands over from the States, you know, and great people. Carl Perkins, Jerry Lou Lewis, all these guys, Junior Wells. And he used to bring them over and we'd go free. Mm-hmm. It was about a 400 capacity place that you could stand up and drink in and just watch these guys close up. So, I mean, once I was doing all that, I didn't really have any choice. I just got into slide and I haven't really done anything else ever. I played in a few rockabilly bands and a bit of Americana mm-hmm. stuff. But if I'm not playing slide guitar, I don't think I'm sort of half the player that I am, you know, when I'm playing slide. So right. For me, it's all about slide.
And then they're coming together, Advert and the Melody Maker like it used to be, or how did it work?
It was really rock and roll.
It was totally rock and roll, wasn't it, Ben?
Swimming lessons for our kids.
It was quite funny, though. It's quite funny. We sat together for like a couple of months.
Yeah.
Like we'd take our kids swimming on a Friday. And we had an hour session. So I always used to sit next to Ben. And there was a couple of other like moms and dads and stuff. And we used to just chat, but everything bar music, right, Ben? We never talked about it at all.
And, yeah. And then in the end, I think our wives went instead of us one week and they said, what does your husband do? Right. Oh, he plays music. Oh, mine plays music too. Maybe we should get them together for a jam, you know. So that was how it worked, really. So
it did. When we got together in the studio, well, at home, we just clicked. We right. liked the same music.
Mm-hmm.
We played. And, you know, we didn't commit to something straight away. We just enjoyed playing together. So we used to just get together, listen to great songs, Ben would email great music, and then I'd throw in the music I'd liked. And then suddenly we clicked and jowled very, very quickly.
Bit like falling in love, then.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all the bit where you share the influences that you've got with your now new partner kind of stuff. It's all very romantic.
Yeah.
But not in that kind of way. But I know what you mean. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We, you know, we've both been on the road as well a long, long time. You know, we've done like the London thing where you know, it's a long trip and you're playing for nothing.
Yes.
So we're not like, you know, in any hurry to be doing any of that. We know what we want to do and what we want to play, and mainly enjoy what we're doing, and we really do, you know. It's we love
that. I think that comes through. We've already heard that, and if you've heard me play tracks from the album on the show, you'll hear that too, because the album is a remarkable one in a way that actually all of the strengths of the two of you together seem to come through. And I mean, often these things can get lost on an album, but it's been really well produced, and you can hear sort of the sum that one and one equals more than two, you know. It's I think it's really fine. So I mean, is that down to production, do you reckon, or just sheer fortuitous?
It was lucky, really. Yeah, it was. I mean, we knew what we wanted to do because we wanted to do it live, you know. So I think the fact that we were sitting there opposite each other with the same instruments we play live sort of made it was always going to sound that way, really. And the guy, you know, the guy who runs the studio, he didn't put much on, a little bit of reverb on a couple of things, and that was it. And we kind of wanted it like that. There's not a whole lot going on.
Dave picked that. I had to pick him up the other night from a train station. He was stranded, so I had to take him to Evesham from Worcester, and we talked about this album, and what he liked about the album and about the EP too is that he didn't have to do too much. He didn't have to make us sound good.
Yeah.
He said, working with you guys, you've got it there. I just have to tweak it. And that's the best thing. And what he's got now, he's got a template.
Which is horse template.
We seem to have a wooden horse template for music and for photos. We got a photographer called Richard Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses the same sort of sepia sort of colours on our photos, which reminded me of the studio where he uses this. Like when we go in to do the new album, mm-hmm. I know he's going to have his settings in his place, and he's actually used. He's when you go into his studio, he's got our album on the side, because I think he uses it for other bands, is that correct? He
sort of is, it's the sort of thing I can do.
It's a template, yeah. He's sort of like, these settings, we'll keep them there. And,
but we'll surprise him the next album we do. We'll do it, make it different, you know.
Yeah.
I've got a few ideas. It's not going
to
be the same.
Have to change it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Talking about albums, let's go back to music. What are you going to do for us next?
We're going to do a song off the EP. And this is called You're In My Heart.
God only knows you're in my heart. God only knows you're in my heart. From my head to my toes, you're in my heart. Right to my bones, you're in my heart. When you started looking my way, I knew that you'd be mine someday. How could we throw this moment away and live to love another day? God only knows you're in my heart. God only knows you're in my heart. From my head to my toes, you're in my heart. Right to my bones, you're in my heart. Toes, you're in my heart. Right to my bones, you're in my heart. If I could tell you how sweet this could be, making pies from the apples on the tree. I know my Lord is happy as he could be, or else you wouldn't be sitting here with me. God only knows you're in my heart. God only knows you're in my heart. From my head to my toes, you're in my heart. Right to my bones, you're in my heart. God only knows you're in my heart. God only knows you're in my heart. From my head to my toes, you're in my heart. Right to my bones, you're in. Right to my toes, you're in. Right to my bones, you're in my heart.
You're in my heart off the EP. That's a lovely old-fashioned expression. What made you decide, within a year of having the album, what made you decide to bring out an EP?
I found that when we were playing the gigs out there, a lot of our fans had already bought the album, and they seemed to want a bit more. You know, you sort of go on what your fans want.
Yeah.
Really. Ben sort of introduced me to Hank Williams, and just couldn't get enough, really. And I wrote a song, homage, really.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as me and Ben had got that song down, we knew we had to get it recorded as soon as possible and make something of it. Because it's quite easy not to let something go until the end of the year and then, where's it gone, you know?
Yes.
So we wanted to get that, and then we put another three covers on that EP.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gone down really well, and the cover's really nice on it, you know, made sure it's all in keeping with the song, really. And it's got that authenticity about it, which is lovely. You know, so, well, that's my opinion anyway.
I mean, I think EPs are a fabulous idea in the sense that when they first, back in the day, when I was a kid, an EP was what you brought out if you weren't sure whether the band were going to have enough material or enough sort of staying power if you'd like to have an album. And so an EP was a good sample, better than a single, but not as big as an album, not as big a commitment. But now, for the way that musicians and the bands work now in the 21st century, the EP is something which you can sell over the front of the stage for, you know, £5 or thereabouts, and you can sort of keep changing the sort of genres and things on the EPs, and you give your fans, as you said, the fan base, something new to get every time, rather than going on the T-shirts and underwear route, you know, which is the other option, I guess.
Yeah,
it works well. I mean, we put all that attention to making it look pretty and everything, so that it does look good on the stage, you know, when you've got it next to you and you've got it in the promotional areas, it does look the part, so it's nice. And yeah, I think we're charging sort of £4 for it, so it's pretty good value. And we made it quite... There's a couple of sort of bluesy tracks on there, because I think we definitely turned slightly more bluesy after the first album, you know, which is quite interesting. We kind of went from country to a bit more bluesy, I think. So we wanted to reflect that a little bit too, because we're getting lots of sort of people from blues festivals talking to us, and I think they weren't sure whether we were sort of country or blues. And so we wanted to put a, like something like Mean Old Frisco's on this album. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously a traditional blues song, you know, it's pretty hardcore blues. So that's on there, and they can know that we can play that sort of stuff for them if they want us to and that kind of thing. So it's quite nice to have a bit of the national guitar with the slide on it and everything. That was good.
But people seem to be generally far more open to something other than straight 12-bar blues these days.
Definitely,
And except because you are being billed not as a blues band, but a kind of a roots Americana-ish kind of band, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big world blues, isn't it?
It is.
I think blues, it's not just about the 12-bar anymore. It's a little bit, it's bigger, it's more open than that now.
Mm.
And I think, I mean, maybe it's you know, down to the registrations like yourself, broadening people's horizons.
Yeah. Really. I mean, Ashwin Samaya, a DJ based in France but does a great radio show here in the UK, he said something this week to the effect of, the trouble is that, yes, it is blues, but if you say blues to people who actually don't know it, they just think a straight 12-bar, you know, and they don't realise it's changed a lot and it can encompass all these fabulous different genres and influences kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And so, but yeah, I mean, yes, whether it's blues, roots,
and it can be rocky, it can be heavy, mm-hmm. it can, and it's all a matter of taste. But at the end of the day, it is blues something?
Mm.
You know, if it's country blues, Mississippi blues, whatever, it's still, that is the name of it, and then you just go on from there. It's the EP itself actually comes out sort of towards the 4th December,
right?
Because HMV in Worcester and Birmingham. Mm-hmm. Decided to stick it on their shelves.
That's nice.
To the album.
Yeah.
And they're using the Classic Rock Blues magazine.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which is now...
It's becoming the standard, isn't it? Yeah.
Oh, it is. I think it's a great move.
Mm.
And we're actually in that edition.
Yeah.
We've got a full page there. They've been really supportive.
I mean, we'll talk about this last... I mean, Facebook can generate lots of kind of white noise and you can believe that the whole world is in Facebook, but it's not really. But having said that, this last 7 or 8 months for you has been amazing, hasn't it? In the sense that your profile has just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Joan Armour Trading gig had a lot to do with that. You know, it was great. Because we knew what we wanted to do, which was start playing the venues that people, you know, come specifically to have a good time, but also to listen a bit, you know. Because, I mean, you can play... We started off, you do the pub circuit, and it's great fun and everything, but then you realise it's nice when people are actually listening a bit sometimes, you know. So we wanted to do that, and I think the Joan... gig gave us that chance just to expose ourselves, and you can name drop, which is great and all that stuff, you know, but you do it because everyone does it and you have to do it.
Yes.
But there was just all of a sudden it was 1,000 people in Cheltenham watching us and really enjoying it. And we sold loads of CDs that night and had a lot of interest, just, you know, local gigs after that, and then the Sandy Tom thing followed. And it's just nice to play the places that people are coming in to listen, and then they'll have a chat with you about your instruments afterwards. Oh, that's a nice sound. Where did that come from? You know. So that's the kind of direction we're trying to go in. And I think we're just, and we've been working hard. We've been doing lots of, you know, driving up and down the motorway, doing radio stations, blah, blah, blah. But it's great fun. We're enjoying it at the minute. So let's hope it continues, you know, on an upward curve.
Yes. But I mean, it has really been a kind of meteoric rise, though, hasn't it, in a sense? And I mean, as you say, working with Sandy and with Joan is a great help. But at the same time, it does seem that there's a lot more notice being taken of you as well. And you know, now with Outlaw PR as well. And so they're sort of pushing forward, aren't they?
Fantastic. Yeah. And I think, I don't know, as an artist, as Wooden Horse, and I don't know if it's the same for other artists, you don't actually realise how big it's getting until... Like, we're Wooden Horse, we're just carrying on, you know, we've got our gigs, we're doing the right things, getting the photos in place, getting the radio sessions in place. and that's what we're doing. That's work. That's enjoyable work. If that's the work, then that's great. Yeah. You know, it's just the motorway bits, which is that's the hard work.
Yeah.
But I think though I don't know or not, but we don't realize how big it's getting, and I'm sure it is. Like the way you're saying, it's growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed. That's great.
I don't think it's a bubble. I mean, I think we can see it. I can see it with a half a dozen artists, UK based, mostly young, but really creating a real tsunami is a big word, but there is a big ripple going on, and I think it's going to push forward in the new year, and with the new publications too. I think it's all positive, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. It's nice to hear as well, because obviously you hear a lot around what's going on, what's going down. So it's great to know ourselves we're creating ripples. It's quite funny. I'm looking out your window at the moment, and I feel like we're moving. Just, the river's going so fast that I feel like we're on the Mississippi River or something.
We've had so much rain over the last couple of days. We actually got a warning a couple of days ago from the Environment Agency around the Thames, saying it's never run so high, so fast, and so cold. So please don't fall in. What are you going to do for us musically next?
We're going to do Some Dark Holler.
Rather be in some dark holler where the sun don't never shine, and be here alone, just knowing that gone as I slowly lose my mind. So blow your whistle, so freight train, take me farther down the track.
Horse playing live on The Raven and the Blues. When you first met at the swimming pool, did the harmonies match so well? Did it match very well from the beginnings, or did you have to do some work on that?
We had to do a little work. I think what is nice is that Ben's quite got quite a distinctive voice anyway. Mm. I've always thought
that's one way of putting it.
Yeah, well, you have. tell that you're singing, and there's a nice separation. Mm. You know, it's Jamie Knight and Ben Church singing.
Yeah.
We listened a lot. What these guys are doing, you know, the good harmonies. A few weeks we were sort of working hard at it, trying to get the vocals right, weren't we? And
yeah, I mean, I think harmony is really important. I've always loved harmony in music, people singing together. And I think in a way that's where the countryside is, sort of country blues has a strength, because a lot of blues, traditional blues, there's no harmony involved. And most blues, really, there's not much harmony. But once you cross over to the sort of gospel side and the slight countryside of blues, then the whole thing opens up, you know. Mm.
We had that remark from the guy, the musician, as the engineer there, and he said, I'm not used to seeing blues duos, say, or any type of blues with harmony.
Yeah.
I think that we're bringing that to the table, maybe, that we are, you know, we're doing blues, we're doing country, and we're also bringing, you know, the gospel side of things as well. We love that. A little bit more God music. Is great. I want to do that. There's some great songs on the album, like All Prayed Up.
Yes.
Some great harmonies on there.
Mm.
Most of those old songs are about God or drinking or something. There's not a lot of subject matter there. So if you want to do some of the songs, they have to be sort of religious a bit. Like All Prayed Up is a classic, but
yes,
the subject matter is usually sort of pretty one dimensional.
We do a lovely version of which has been going down really well live. May the Circle Be Unbroken.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it really gets people singing along, creates a really nice atmosphere. Yeah, we end the show with that sort of thing. But I think it's really important to be as authentic as you can. I mean, I don't just listen to it and just leave it. I try to, you know, if you're going to sing a song, then try and give it as much feel as you can and be as close and to that singer that you want to be, you know. And you've got to keep your own self too, you know.
Do you find that since you met, you're writing differently?
Well, yeah, because we write together.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been a guitarist first, really, so it's always riffs for me, you know. And then me and Jamie will get together, and I'll try and knock out a few riffs maybe while he's thinking of stuff, and then we'll put them together, and then he'll come up with a sort of melody over it all. So for me, it's the guitar side first, and, you know. I haven't changed too much like that, but I think working with Jamie is really good fun because there's no embarrassment at all, you know, everything. It doesn't matter if it sounds absolute crap, we'll just drop it straight away. It's like, right. That's no good, move on, you know. There's no like,
we don't,
oh, but I love that riff, you know, so forget it, let's just do another one.
We've got sort of a 10-minute rule, really. If it's not working, we just
drop it.
It's a song.
If you're not enjoying it, if you're not enjoying playing it,
we know
it,
when it's
it.
Not working, it's just,
But I mean, when you come to write, do you go into a room together and write, or do you come together once every week or so and then say, these are some ideas I've got, and play them to each other?
Well, I think it's, we write when we want to release an album.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not, like every week, we're not going, right, we need to get together to get some songs. We think to each other, right, we want to release an album for January. Let's get together for a couple of weeks. Probably two or three sessions, and we'll work something out. We know there's an album to write, and I know Ben's got tons of riffs going.
Yes.
And it's really exciting because I've got loads of like melody in my head and lyrics, and Ben's really great with lyrics too. We get together on that.
So the writing is not a thing you fear. You just know when you get in a room, it's going
to
happen.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. In fact, I mean, I think it's because, you know, once you've been playing the same songs for a while, you think, well, we just need some new stuff, really. And if you want to be, you know, it's all sort of, aside from just the covers band, you need to be writing your own stuff. There's no point just doing covers, I don't think. So we actually need to write some new stuff now. We've had the album out for a year and a bit, and the EP's been out for a little while. Well, it's not officially out, but it's, you know, a couple of months ago that we did it.
Well, there's just
road tested
song.
It, yeah.
That's one of our own songs on the EP. Mm-hmm. So, but that, again, that was 10 minute. I came up with this sort of feel for this song because Ben had introduced me to sort of Hank Williams, and Ben put his side in, and we came up with that You're In My Heart. And that's the way we work. It's we've got ideas and we just bring it together, and it it either works or it doesn't, and we don't get hung up on the doesn'ts.
Yes,
and that keeps it easy. No frustration there. It's
no argument.
We don't go into the never. We don't go into the studio. It's not a chore, and I think that comes through with the engineer as well. He loves working with us because he's like.
Is that,
not
because
really
you,
doing
is that because you had your egos in a former life, do you reckon?
Oh, Jamie's still got his ego. Don't worry about that. Yeah, I think it helps. I think, if you've been through playing for a lot of years, you know kind of just the way to do it now. Yeah. And you know what's going to work and what's not. And there's no point being precious about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how Jamie's going to go for my 10-minute version, tribute to Lord of the Rings that I'm planning for the next album, but we'll see how that goes.
And then well, that's an exclusive.
I've always wanted to do that.
Wooden horse play Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Yes.
Rock opera.
But, yes.
But as long as it brings in the same amount of money, I'm all yours.
I suppose the other thing is you can't actually then have the album sing by track at a time and change the order around. You're going to have to buy the complete session, all three volumes of it, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I haven't put that much thought into it, to be honest. But it may happen. Yeah,
we've got a long journey home, put it that way.
Some serious conversations.
Do you feel in control of the way it's happening? I mean, obviously, by the way you're talking, you manage it all yourself. You are, you've got people doing your PR and things, but everything else about it is Wooden Horse is what we see and what we hear now. You haven't got some sort of strange guy above you pulling the strings, but do you feel in control?
Yeah, because I've sort of taken it from the bottom, really, haven't I? I booked the gigs and stuff, and done quite a lot of work networking and sort of growing it on that side of things. I've always taken my time, actually. Never thought I need to get somewhere fast, you know. And I think a lot of bands and artists, they move so fast that they trip. And it's a bit like snakes and ladders, really.
Yeah.
They get excited when they get a six and they get a snake all the way back down. And it is like that, but you get that longer ladder when you take your time and not be too anxious and release the right songs.
It's all about enjoyment, isn't it? If we didn't enjoy doing a song, we just wouldn't do it. And if someone said, oh, you need to play this one at a gig, and if we didn't like it, it just wouldn't happen. You know? So we're in charge of what we're playing,
We're playing the right gigs as well. I think a lot of people can be... You know, we are a little bit cheesy. You know, we want to play places where people are listening to us.
I think you have to be. There's a great article online in the States about the 10 things musicians have got to learn. And one of them is, I think it's number 4 or 5, is choose your gigs carefully. Because you don't want to be playing to a room full of drunken bums and just drinking pints and not taking any notes of you. I mean, you have to do it at the beginning sometimes, but as you can progress, that you can stop that and say, sorry, we're beyond that now. Yeah.
It is. It's a nice feeling, actually, of being... beyond that. To be, we feel like we're moving on, getting a great PR with Outlaw. She's creating awareness for us, and it does move you up, and not in a sort of big-headed way,
no,
more grounded way, that you know who you are, what your sound is. And that was really important when I was just being a singer-songwriter. And I was just writing sort of singer-songwriter love songs and stuff. I didn't quite know what my image was or what I was selling until Ben came along and he said, look, get rid of that hairy-fairy stuff and get back into blues. And really, that is it. It's what we are. And it's an easier thing to manage when you know what the product is. So Wooden Horse is a product. And it's growing, you know, and it's quite easy to, let the press know, let radio stations know what they get it.
Yeah.
You know, and when we send stuff to Australia, we're having stuff played in Australia now, and they get it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go onto our website, we keep everything, and that's the way I've done it, really. You go on our websites, you look at our albums, like I was coming back to the way our photos look.
Yeah.
They get it because it's all in. It's all the same.
So it's important to get away. I mean, I've done some gigs in my life that have just been awful. I mean, terrible. You're playing in a place where there is actually no one there. And even the landlord in the pub is kind of looking at you, what are you doing here? Who are you? And then the one time I did a gig like that, and there was no one in there, and I was packing my stuff up, and I still had a bag Nick's with all my microphones in it. And there wasn't even anyone in there. I was like, how's that? How did that happen? Yes. So yeah, it's nice to move away from some of the venues, you know.
Yes.
But you kind of, we're good at earmarking those. If we play something we don't like, we're just like, well, okay, that's it, done, you know. But it's good to have a bit of stories to tell, a bit of experience of the bad ones as well as the good ones, you know.
Life can never be perfect.
Yeah,
exactly. If it was, you would never know what perfection
was. Yeah, it'd be boring, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If people want to learn more about Wooden Horse, where do they go?
It's all the W's, woodenhorsemusic.co.uk.
And you're pretty active on Facebook.
Yeah.
And Outlaw PR are pushing in all different directions.
That's right, yeah.
And you're in Classic Rock Blues magazine this month. Yeah.
That's right. We're also in the R2 magazine as well. So they've been great. We actually got one of our songs free on the CD there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, free. You have to buy the magazine, but free in search.
Yeah.
So that's great.
What are you going to finish with?
We're going to finish with our own song that we wrote. And this is off our latest album. And this is Helen Going Home.
Ticket, there's no place to go. When she would leave, then I'd follow. I'm counting days, and those days ain't over too soon. When you really got nothing, I mean much to me, then you hold on to something, I know the place I'd rather be. I'm counting days. No days ain't all too soon. Hell, hell ain't going home. Down that road, same one as before. This time you're looking up, not looking down the ground. And more counting days, and those days ain't over too soon. Hell, hell ain't going home. Hell ain't going home. Hell ain't going home. Hell ain't going home.